Today we will be reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 7. Actually, we won't. Today we'll be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, entitled the Samam Varnam, Chapter Number 35, entitled the Gopis Sing of Krishna. Specifically, text number 20, which is the one on the board, and also there's text number 21 attached to it as well. My repertoire of Sanskrit meters unfortunately don't fit to this verse, even the one that we were doing this morning. So maybe Krishnagaja, could you do the Gopi Gita meter fits to it? It sounds really nice, but I can't do it. There's not many words in there actually, so I'll do the word for words.
Kunda.
of jasmine flowers. Tama, with a garland. Krita, made. Kautuka, playful. Vesha, his array. Kopa, by the cowherd boys. Kodana, and the cows. Britaha, surrounded. Yamunayam, along the Yamuna. Nanda Sunahu, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Anage, O sinless lady. Tava, yours. Vatsaha, darling child. Namada, amusing. Pranayinam, his dear companions. Vijahara, he has played. Manda, gentle. Vayu, the wind. Upavati, blows. Anukulam, favorably. Manayan, showing honor. Malaja, of the fragrance of. Krishna. It's all in brackets and it's quite good to say. Of the fragrance of sandalwood. Well done. Sparshna, the touch. Vandinaha, those who offer praise. Tam, him. Upadev, of the minor demigods. Ganaha, members of the various categories. Yeah. Who? Vandya, Vadya, with instrumental music. Gita, singing. Balibi, and presentation of gifts. Parivaru, the heaven circled. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. I get in trouble when I say that for some reason. Translation: O sinless Yashoda, your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda, has festively enhanced his attire with a jasmine garland, and he is now playing along the Yamuna in the company of the cows and cowherd boys, amusing his dear companions. The gentle breeze honors him with its soothing fragrance of sandalwood, while the various upadevas standing on all sides, like panegyrists, offer their music, singing, and gifts of tribute. It's a very small purport, so we'll do the translation responsibly. Please repeat. O sinless Yashoda, your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda, has festively enhanced his attire with a jasmine garland, and he is now playing along the Yamuna in the company of the cows and the cowherd boy, amusing his dear companions. The gentle breeze honors him with its soothing fragrance of sandalwood, while the various upadevas standing on all sides, like panegyrists, offer their music, singing, and gifts of tribute. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the gopis are again in the courtyard of Mother Yashoda, the Queen of Braj. They are trying to encourage her by describing Krishna's return to Vrindavan after he has spent the day herding cows and playing. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments that the Upadevas, the minor demigods mentioned here, include the Gandharvas, who are famous for their celestial music and dancing. Om Gyan Tamanandasya Gananjaya Shalakaya Chakshu Unmalitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Guravena Maha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we are, back in the courtyard of Mother Yashoda. What a place to be, actually. Experiencing the spiritual reality. What it means to be a follower of Krishna, a follower of Krishna's dear companions, and a follower of the followers of Krishna, is to be enlivened by descriptions of Krishna, his pastimes, and his associates. In this situation, we're getting a chance to witness the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing as a small child. A most, when you think about it, has been explained many times recently, a most inconceivable, in one sense, arrangement or situation. If we have had the experience of caring for or even having our own children, we can see that at the age of 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, 8, 9, whatever, the children aren't necessarily endowed with much potency to achieve a vast array of things. The parents obviously love them very dearly, but they can't do much as far as something productive for the advancement of the family that they happen to be born in. Just yesterday, actually, I saw a person who I haven't seen for a couple of years, just outside Crossways. She first came to Crossways when I first started going there, actually, myself. And she asked me the most unusual question. She came up to me and said, this is 5 years ago, she said, can I speak to you for a moment? That wasn't the unusual question. Can I speak to you for a moment? I said, yeah, sure. She said, I feel that I need to discuss, I have a problem, I need to discuss it with someone, and I figure a Hare Krishna will be someone who can hear my problem and not judge me. I said, well, that's nice that you think that about the Hare Krishnas. Yeah, it was nice. It's nice that she thinks that about the Hare Krishnas. And I said, no problem. You tell me, what is your difficult situation? She said, well, I'm pregnant. I said, oh. Is that good or bad? Because I didn't want to judge. I asked her, is that good or bad? And she said, well, it's probably bad. I said, oh, why is that? What do your parents think? She said, well, my mum doesn't know, and my dad's not happy. I said, oh, why is your dad not happy? And she said, well, because he's the father of my child. Now, in that shocking situation, you have many realizations when you're talking to a person explaining this to you. I'm thinking about all these amazing pastimes that we're hearing in the spiritual world. The spiritual reality, as I started off saying, being brought to us through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the discussions that come from hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. But actually, in the material world, the reality is nowhere near as attractive. Sometimes people defend the spiritual world and the material world and say, no, there's hope there. There is. It's not all that bad. The Hare Krishnas may cop this criticism. You guys, you're just always down in the material world. Always looking at the bad side of things. But you know, it's not that bad. Someone was telling me this yesterday also. You know, there's footy. There's many things that happen in Australia which make it the country that it is. And of course, I can say the same for New Zealand. There's many things that happen which make it the country that it is. And they may say it's not that bad. Don't be so negative about the material world. And we can cite these different examples about how it's suffering, it's just birth, death, old age and disease. But then you have a conversation with someone like that and realise actually there's more going on than just birth, death, old age and disease. There are other forms of suffering which we can't necessarily conceive of, I guess, unless we've been in that situation. The spiritual world, of course, we understand is Vaikuntha, is free from suffering. A reality which, even presenting that to someone, people aren't necessarily attracted to being free from suffering. If someone has only known a lot of hardship in their life and you say, okay, we can remove that, or that can be removed by just approaching the spiritual world, then still they may not necessarily be interested. We hear in the purport about the minor demigods, the Gandharvas. We can hear in the words of Srila Prabhupada when he was describing one of his disciples, Vishnujan Swami. He was an amazing leader of kirtan. This is relevant and I'll explain why in a moment. He was an amazing kirtan leader. And when they first started preaching in America, Prabhupada told them, leave kirtan, have kirtan every day. And so for 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, he played Madango in the street. Men and women wearing saffron, dancing together for 14 hours. 8 hours straight, then they had breakfast, and then another 6 hours. Every single day. So if you happen to go to vishujanswami.com, the website, with all the Vishujan Swami paraphernalia, or pictures of the paraphernalia there, you see him giving Bhagavatam class, making ecstatic points, never worn any sewn cloth, on the Radha-Damodar travelling Sankham party. I've spoken to Madhava Maharaj at length about various things associated with that bus party and also with Vishujan Swami, and he has some amazing experiences to tell of his time with Vishujan Swami. But anyway, you see him giving class and he's like King Kong, he's got massive arms, he's just like playing Madanga all the time, he's very strong. But as we all know, we're familiar with how he left this world, which is a most unusual situation. Where he asked Prabhupada, what should a sannyasi do if he can't follow his vows? And Prabhupada said, certainly he should kill himself. And to cut a long story short, then it appears that maybe he did. And when the disciples asked Prabhupada, where is Vishujan gone? Why has he left our association? And Prabhupada said, he has gone back to Gandhava Loka. He's finished his seva here on Planet X, on the Harinam Sankirtan party here. He's gone back to Gandhava Loka. It was a Gandhava who'd come here to enliven the devotees with his singing, with his kirtan. So we don't know actually how many people that we meet are actually where everyone has come from, what our previous situation is for. Sometimes it's explained that that reincarnation means that the people you're hanging out with now, probably you've been with them before. We're all chickens of the same nest, so to speak. And maybe this association may continue. We may be in the same ISKCON in the spiritual world, the same group. It's a good inspiration to get on with each other, I guess, in one sense. Jiva Goswami explains further that the situation in Krishna's, in Mother Yashoda's courtyard with Krishna and all his dear friends is actually another inconceivable situation for us to see. One of my favourite, stepping out of the courtyard for a moment, one of my favourite pastimes from the Krishna book is when Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends go off to kill the ass demons. And it's just such beautiful descriptions of Krishna when he's entering the forest. The Taliban forest, is it? The Taliban forest, where Daniel Kasara lives and all his multicoloured ass friends. And it's interesting how no one goes to this forest because it's It's inhabited by these ferocious demons. And maybe we haven't got experience of ferocious demons, but maybe there are certain areas of the city where we wouldn't walk at night, generally speaking. We wouldn't walk there at night because it's dangerous. And if we did have to walk there, we'd walk there in a certain way. Like we'd be really cautious and we'd race through really quick, or we'd get some friends to go with us. We wouldn't just sort of wander through without any care or concern for our well-being, knowing that the situation is really dangerous. But Krishna, on the other hand, does things differently. When he enters the Taliban forest, he doesn't sneak in. He doesn't say, everyone be quiet, we'll sneak in and try and sneak up on these ass demons and kill them that way. No. Bhagavatam describes that Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends skipped and danced into the Taliban forest. Skipping and dancing they entered, and of course Lord Balaram shows his prowess by shaking the trees with his hands, exhibiting the strength of an elephant as he shakes the trees and the fruits fall to the ground. This of course enrages the ass demons, and Krishna catches them and they kill them. And even the killing of the demons is described that they created a beautiful panoramic scene by throwing multicoloured ash demons into the tops of palm trees. And it's described that it looked like clouds of different colours sitting on the tops of the trees, up until the weight of the demons smashed all the trees to the ground, and all the boys gathered the fruit, they ate the fruit, and they all lived happily ever after. Yes. Krishna's pastimes are so splendid, it describes even that the streams flowing through this forest and the lakes are so transparent that you can't see the water. All you can see is the fish swimming in the water. Krishna book, of course, is a sensory book, and we should engage our senses in all of these pastimes. Try and imagine that, looking down into a big hole in the ground and just seeing a fish flying around in it because you couldn't see the water. And you have to really meditate on that to just imagine what it might look like. There's a couple of fish. The fish would obviously feel a bit, what's the word for it?
Exposed.
Self-conscious, because they're sort of swimming around. Obviously there's big birds flying about and things like that. Maybe looking down, there's the fish, like, seemingly levitating without there being any water there. But this water is so transcendental, it's described that just by thinking about the water, you can be relieved of all fatigue. What to speak of bathing in it or drinking it? Just by thinking about this water and the breezes that blow across the water. Krishna and his cowboy boyfriend jump in the water and they imitate all the animals, the frog. They scare the frogs and the frogs hop away. But obviously you could play a trick on people with water that was so transparent you couldn't see it. But anyway, it's a chance, even though it's inconceivable in one sense, we can go to places in the material world where the water is so clear. There are some areas of bush in New Zealand where the water is so clear, you can still see it, you can see the reflection, but you do see fish swimming in the water very easily. But you can still see the water. Not that it's so transparent that it's not there. And the breezes that blow over these kuns, same thing, just by remembering the breezes, you can be relieved of fatigue. What to speak of actually experiencing it? Another inconceivable side of the spiritual reality. We can explain these pastimes will be explained so many times, and every time you hear them, there might be a little bit more that you pick up. But the Prabhupada say that every word he chose precisely, it wasn't just a random conglomeration of language where different words just made a point vaguely in the paragraph. No, every word in the paragraph is so important. How this is so, we see sometimes maybe when we're reading, especially from the Bhagavad Gita, we may read again and again and again, read the second chapter so many times, and it's the whole Gita summarized, there's so many points in there, and suddenly we find the point which seems so relevant to our lives or our situation. That may be that it seems that we've missed it before, but actually, of course it was always there, but actually its relevance to us now is even more relevant than it was last time we read. So similarly, when we're hearing these pastimes of Krishna, the more we can relish Krishna's enjoyment, so I'm told, the more we can relish Krishna's enjoyment, the more enjoyment we can get for ourselves. The more we have a pleasurable experience ourselves by reading these pastimes. Recently, Keshava Prabhu was explaining how from the seed verses of the second canto of the Bhagavatam, how those three subjects are expanded. Prahlad Maharaj expands them into the nine processes of devotional service, and Rupa Goswami further expands on them into the 64 items of bhakti mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. We can read through these and see so many things which are possible for us to do, and of course it's explained that just by coming to the morning program we can do all these things just in a very short space of time. Prabhupada so expertly arranged it. Translating the Bhagavatam, giving us a chance, giving us the window into the spiritual world is something which we can so easily take for granted. As I was at Crossways yesterday, thinking that, wow, if this is, I guess, the last time I get the opportunity by Krishnananda's mercy to sit here, and in a few days' time we're leaving to go back to New Zealand. And I was thinking that it's interesting how Crossways, as an example, because it's somewhere I've been for 5 years, so many people come along looking for one thing, looking for two things. They've all got something in common. Obviously, they want somewhere to eat, but that's common to every living entity. They all want something to eat. But a lot of the people who come to Crossways are looking for something else, more than just food, more than just cheap food. I met up with a group of friends last night, regulars who come to the restaurant. I've been promising I'd meet up with them, and last night was the night. And it's interesting, they were asking about, or they were explaining to me why they come along. Why is it you come to Crossways? Why do you come to the Sunday feast sometimes? What is it you're looking for? And they said, well, obviously, there is fair-priced, very nice, healthy food. Obviously, there's all these different things. And, of course, there's slightly new age as well. They said, obviously, there's a definite, strong, universal connectiveness in the plastic chairs and the wooden tables and the nice, clean carpet. They feel that coming to the restaurant, they feel bonded to everybody there. But what they're looking for is someone to smile and say hello. More than anything else. Even if the person doesn't really know them, they're looking for someone who may recognise them from the last time they came and say, hi, thanks for coming, please come back. And of course, as devotees, we all do that so well. Welcoming people, making them feel that it's not an inconvenience that they've come to the restaurant, to the temple, to the loft, wherever it might be. And this is a very special quality, because we can be very learned in the philosophy. We can know so many things that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, that Rupa Goswami said, that Srila Prabhupada said. But a lot of these people don't want to hear that. All they want, most of all, initially anyway, is someone who's quite friendly towards them, someone who welcomes them, someone who takes them into their heart, so to speak, and makes them feel befriended. And in this situation, so many people can then come to Krishna consciousness. Probably not many people are inspired to join up, so to speak, just by a full-on philosophical presentation. Some people are, of course. David Meduswami, when he was here last time, was telling the story of a Sankirtan devotee in America who stopped someone on the street, and all they said to them was Savadama Paratyagya, surrender immediately. And of course the person fell on the ground crying, ran 6 miles back to his house, dumped all the stuff and moved into the temple that day. But that's potentially an unusual situation. It's not every day you can demand someone to surrender and they'll move in straight away. Yes. And so, I mean, sometimes surprising things happen. I remember one day I was on Sankirtan with a devotee who was just starting distributing books. And the first person we stopped, I think, bought a Bhagavatam set in the street. And of course I wanted to say, oh, that happens every day. But that wasn't the case. Who knows how often this could happen, maybe if we had the desire, but I guess the desire is not strong enough for me to do that. I will probably finish there by saying, oh, actually, firstly, before I forget, by saying that on Sunday morning, in the Prashalam Hall, straight after Bhagavatam class. We're having like a farewell breakfast. Someone's leaving apparently. I think my wife's going somewhere. So we'd like all the devotees to please come along if they want to, if it's not too inconvenient. And the good news is that I'm not going to be doing any of the cooking, so, and even better news, this is good news for you. I mean, it's bad news for me because I was looking forward to cooking up some khichdi, cooking up some nice prasadam for the devotees, but Chintruva's going to let me serve, but she's not going to let me cook it, so I wish she's heard some rumours or something. And I'll save all. I think we're doing a. We're at the loft tonight. For the loft guests. A little bit of fun, thanks to Triga's planning and divine inspiration. We'll see what happens tonight. See if we return. Try. Thanks for your attentive listening. Can't you ask about time? Shall I probably keep? Go up, Premanandi.
Did you finish the canto?
Oh, was it right at the end? Oh no. Oh, I did it too. Fine. And see, at night I just did the one verse.
Did you drink it?
It didn't touch my mouth though.
Did you?
No, no. I didn't realize it was so good.
Maybe yours.
Arishta.
Are you touched?
I should have finished it.
Who can I give this to today? Who's getting
hot? Screws around here.
Need a metal gallon.
I don't like a steel gallon. My gallon.
Yeah.